Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church. But now, thus says the Lord, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in return for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God says to the people of Israel and to us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. In 2011, the state of Michigan discovered that the city of Flint was experiencing an economic deficit. So the city decided to build a new pipeline for Flint's drinking water supply, which would save a ton of money. By 2014, the pipeline was under construction. By 2015, a year later, enough residents had noticed that the water looked and tasted pretty funny, and the EPA figured out that there were dangerous levels of lead in their drinking water. Lead causes all sorts of health problems, and you really don't want it in your water. To make a long story short, it took a number of years for the problem to even be taken seriously enough that the end of this contamination issue was in sight. Residents of the city had to open their own lawsuits against the city in order to get anyone to pay attention to it at all. And even though the governor of Michigan has now declared an official end to the water crisis, thousands of residents are still getting their water from lead pipes. The EPA agrees that there's no level of lead in water for your drinking water that's safe. For the people of Flint, Michigan, justice continues to come at a snail's pace. God says to the people of Israel and to the people of Flint, Michigan, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When I was a little girl, my three best friends lived in my neighborhood. We played together pretty much every day anyway, but there was one particular circumstance in which it was non-negotiable that we would all meet outside and play together, and it's when there was a torrential downpour of rain. You know those late afternoon rain showers in the summer? They come out of nowhere, and it's like the skies open up and just dump big wet drops for like a half an hour. We loved those rainstorms. We'd all meet outside in my best friend's front yard in our t-shirts and swimsuits and dance and run and play in the rain until it dried up. When I think about what it's like to experience pure joy, I think about those afternoons dancing in the rain. We'd go back into our houses soaked to the bone with rainwater and joy. God says to the people of Israel and to all the little girls who dance in the rain, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. On November 1st, 1755, on the morning of All Saints' Day, a series of earthquakes hit the city of Lisbon in Portugal. The earthquakes then caused a massive tsunami, about 65 feet tall. And by the end of this disaster, about 50,000 people across Spain and Portugal had died. The city of Lisbon was completely decimated. In addition to the physical wreckage of these disasters, though, there were also significant philosophical and theological effects of what had happened. Before the Lisbon earthquakes and tsunami, many of the intellectual trends of the day were overall pretty optimistic. But after these earthquakes, new questions started emerging. What did our communities do that would merit this kind of disaster and suffering? Why would a good and powerful God allow this kind of thing to happen? Today, we might take those kinds of questions for granted. We talk about them all the time in seminary, but in 1755, they were pretty fresh. The famous philosopher Voltaire, who was once a great optimist himself, wrote a particularly poignant poem following these disasters, questioning whether this world that we live in is actually, as he once believed, the best of all possible worlds. For the people of 18th century Western Europe, questions of God's goodness were very, very real. God says to the people of Israel and to the people of Spain and Portugal in 1755, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you." I grew up in upstate South Carolina, and my extended family met on the Carolina coast every year in the summer for a week-long trip to the beach. When I was little, these trips were just what we did. Every July, we packed up the car and spent a week at a beach house, swimming and playing games and going out to eat. But as my cousins and I grew older, the trips became more than that. They became a way for us to mark the passage of time, to mark the life events and growth that were happening in our family. This passage of time became clearer to us when we were closer to that expansive beauty of the Atlantic Ocean. I remember the year my youngest brother learned how to swim, and we could finally all venture out into the waves a little farther. I remember the year when members of my family were experiencing crises and mental illness, when our walks along the shoreline marked the passage of a very difficult season. I remember the year before my grandmother died, 2 years ago, when her body was too frail to make its way through the boardwalk to the sand, and we'd sit in rocking chairs, take turns sitting in rocking chairs on the porch, talking with her, knowing that it was her last year at the beach with us. The phases of my family's life have always been revealed to us most clearly in those murky waters of the Atlantic Ocean, with the ebb and flow of the waves mirroring the ebb and flow of our life together. What you've hopefully noticed by now is that each of these stories that I've shared has something to do with what? Water. The people of Flint need clean drinking water. My friends and I experienced our deepest expressions of joy by dancing in the rainwater. The people in Spain and Portugal in 1755 found the moorings of their communities upended by tsunami waters. My family contemplates the passage of time together in the Atlantic Ocean waters. Perhaps you can think of other water stories from history and the Bible and your own life. Noah and the flood. The relief of a cool drink of water on a hot afternoon. The polar ice caps that are melting because of climate change. The delight of a child splashing in a puddle. The parting of the Red Sea, the salty water of tears in our eyes. There's something about the presence of water that permeates our existence. Without it, we can't live, but sometimes, in certain forms, it threatens to overwhelm. In our scripture passage for today, God speaks to the people of Israel who are living in exile in Babylon. They're preparing to return home to the land that they love, but right now, things are hard. These years of exile have been years of upheaval from the customs and traditions and land that they know and love. They've been living under an oppressive foreign rule, and they're weary. And I imagine they might have been a bit disillusioned with the systems of faith that they inherited from their ancestors. I can hear echoes of people asking questions about where God might be in the midst of this season. And so we come to these words from the prophetic book of Isaiah. God is speaking here to the people of Israel who are living in exile, but God is also speaking to you and to me. Listen once more to what God says. Now, thus says the Lord, the one who created you, O Israel, the one who formed you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you. This is a statement of God's love and provision towards a hurting people from a long time ago, but it's also a statement for us today. The same God that created everything that lives, who knit each of us together in the womb, is the God who offers to us unconditional love and redemption. God's redemption is costly. That's what all this language about exchanging nations for Israel means. But it's not costly for us. God loves us because it is in God's nature to love us. It's not because we're earned it. It's not because we're beautiful or successful or we made a lot of money or even because we're kind or justice-seeking people. It's simply in God's nature to love us and offer redemption to a hurting world. Today is Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, when we celebrate the gifts of this beautiful sacrament, in which each of us is signed and sealed with the mark of God's unconditional love for us and the world. In baptism, we are claimed as God's own children, through no merit of our own, but simply out of God's abundant love for creation. God says to us in these baptismal waters, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. This promise goes with us through all the waters that we journey in through our lives, from infancy until the day that our baptism is complete in death. God's promise of love and grace goes with us when we dance in the rain, when we contemplate the passage of time with family, when we work for justice on behalf of those who lack resources, and when we ask hard questions in the midst of doubt. When we pass through all these kinds of waters, God is with us. And the good news is that this promise is not just for us. This promise is for everyone. God says that this promise is for everyone who I called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And that means everyone. The irrevocable promises of God's love and presence, which are sealed in these waters of baptism, are for everyone whom God made. Of course, this reality comes with a very particular call. It's a call to live as people who know that the promises of God are for all people. Our baptism isn't just a mark of our own belovedness as a child of God. Our baptism is a call to live in a way that shows others, with our actions and with our words, that everyone whom we encounter is a beloved child of God, beautiful in God's sight. That means treating one another with lavish kindness, working for equity and inclusion in our workspaces and communities, learning to love those who are a little different from us, investing in the lives of our children and youth for whom the knowledge of their own belovedness is absolutely crucial. This passage from Isaiah is followed by a lengthy reminder of the reason we can believe the baptismal promises of God. Because God is the creator of the universe, the one who brought the people of Israel out of slavery, the one who offers provision and nourishment to creation. This is the God who loves us beyond our wildest imagination, the one who accompanies along this journey through our own waters of joy and sorrow and everything that happens in between. In Isaiah 43, verse 19, God says this: "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" This is a gift and a call for us this day and always. What is the new thing that God is doing in these waters of baptism? May we be led forth by God's grace to discern the new thing that God is doing and to become faithful participants in the work of justice and love in the world. Amen.